Alrighty, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, or at least someone did, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, we answer the questions. Now, this is one of those, I get the first question of the day today. John Ritchie, at 8:30, when we play Are You Smarter Than a 12th Grader, and I compete against 12th grader Sean, who will you be rooting for?
Oh, man. Well, the underdog. Oh.
That's obviously Sean. The kid in this case.
You're undefeated. Nope. You can't pull this. You're not the underdog anymore. You're 7-0 or whatever. Like, that is the opposite of the underdog.
I really should be losing, though.
But you're the favorite. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You're 7-0. You're the clear favorite in this.
Devin, to what, I know you to love what extent to be the underdog. You're the favorite. If the kid loses, can I make fun of him?
I mean, 12th grade's old enough, I guess.
Yeah. Like could be 18. Might be war eligible.
Probably 18-ish.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
War eligible?
Well, he's an incoming 12th grader, so he's probably 17. Well, he might be 18, but he's probably 17.
Maybe he had to do a grade twice.
He probably is. He's 17, though.
Regardless.
I'm smelling a kid that had to repeat 5th grade. I'm making fun of the kid today.
Here's what I hope.
Because you know what? He's driving in, listening with his parents right now. He's getting nervous knowing that they have her.
I hope the father comes with him and knocks you out if you do that.
Stop intimidating. He's under 18. You should not be intimidating.
No, he's had to do 5th grade twice.
He's a child.
Had to do it twice.
Had to do 5th grade.
This is outrageous. You should be embarrassed.
I am, actually.
Yeah.
No, I'll try to rein it in. We'll have some fun at 8:30 today with Are You Smarter Than a 12th grader. All right, Seltzer, what questions are we looking at today?
Let's get to probably the question that the most people ask, and in general, most people want to know. When is the tennis match happening now?
I don't know. I think we'll have that answer, if I had to guess, after today's show. We got to meet with said management that made the decision. I would very much think that it will be next week. I will be extremely disappointed if it's not next week. So I would guess mid next week is. I know Jack is off on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an event tomorrow night. We got to get to Borgata. Then after that, my guess is we're looking, if I had to guess, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check the weather.
But I don't know.
Check the weather beforehand, sure. Maybe. Yeah. All right.
Thursday next week, we're looking at rain, so I would rule that out.
I would hope Tuesday or Wednesday. So I really, really hope. I'm ready, guys. And if anything, nice. This gives him more time to circle the wagons and actually, I don't know, learn how to surf.
Oh, I agree. I think the delay helps Jack.
I know it does.
I agree. Yeah. All right. Richie. From the text line, congrats, John. Have you started to think at all about planning the wedding? Do you have a general idea of the date you want to have it?
No. I only was focused on the date I wanted to propose because it was, I was told I had to wait a full year from July 25th.
I was told,
by
I love
14-year-old
that.
Who told you? Oh, your daughter.
My daughter, Mila.
That's
so
great.
I waited the full year. That was my focus. I'm a one-track mind, so now I will move on to that next step. We will move on to that next step together. We haven't.
But 2026? I mean, not the next 5 months, right? 2026?
Yeah, I would guess.
You want a pretty big wedding?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I really have no
idea. It's really up to her.
Yeah.
It's what Alicia wants.
Yes.
Exactly.
I did
as
see that there were some questions about, like, we had talked about the proposal where I said I proposed on the beach. I proposed on the beach. That was our proposal.
Yep.
And then we did a photo shoot to, you know, immortalize everything. And that we put that online.
Very nice.
So that was that.
So people
was
could
the
see it if they want.
Yeah, so people could see what it looked like. But we were on the beach just for us.
So let me just say this. There's one thing more than anything else I'm looking forward to related to this wedding. Because it's going to put John in an uncomfortable spot.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
The extent to which he invites WIP people.
Mm.
So, like, I would hope we here on this show get the invite. I think think it's merit. As long as you're not doing a 10-person wedding, because then that's a different deal. But if, like, you're having, like, people, then it's us.
Sounds like elopement is in our future.
Well, you could save a lot of money. Well, you could save money. I mean, like, does Jack Fritz get the invite?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
These are interesting questions.
You know, and then how far do you have to keep?
Because, again, not... I have not thought about anything except making sure she says yes.
Like our head of sales, Dave Scopinish. Does he, Seltzer, does Scope He's the head of sales.
What are you doing? You're putting John in an uncomfortable position.
Well, yes. This is called putting someone on blast, you know? Is what it's called.
John, you invite who you want to come to your wedding.
Yeah, as long as we're invited, who cares?
It's a little bit of a political thing at a certain age.
As long as we're invited.
I've done it before.
the Elliot Shore Parks, does he get the invite? So these are the things. Like, you got the invite,
Elliot,
to his wedding.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So that's, you know, reciprocate.
The beauty of it all is it is a cooperative decision-making process, so I can't guarantee anything.
Love this. He's going to blame.
Smart answer.
He's going to blame Alicia.
I love that.
That's
put
really
the blame
smart.
Squarely very on smart. Alicia.
Very smart. All right, James, let's do one more.
All right. Jack the Mike on Twitter says, if you could travel back in time to see or witness the recording of any music album in history, which album would you choose and why?
Oh, man.
No clue. I don't know.
Why are you serious?
Know.
You're the worst.
Man,
I bet the album that the Battle Hymn of the Republic
was
on.
Maybe Sublime. Sublime. I like that one. That was good a good album. One. Hang out with Bradley Nald before he died.
Noel.
Was that his name, Noel? That was Nald.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
I like that guy. And then the dog, Lou Dog, I think that was the name. I'd hang out with Lou
Dog.
They
looked like they had fun.
I would
too much fun, but.
Side stage while they record that. James, John, what would it be for you?
I think the Unplugged stuff. From the 90s.
Like Nirvana?
It would be Nirvana Unplugged or Alice in Chains Unplugged. Probably Nirvana Unplugged.
I think you got it in Nirvana. That album is...
Yeah. Nirvana Unplugged, that's 1994. It was released November 1994. It was released posthumously. So Kurt Cobain had died like 7 months before that came out. Man, to be at that final... It was essentially like their final intimate concert. And to be there for that, for those 14 songs, oh my goodness. And then I'd try to secretly grab the guitar on my way out. Oh my gosh.
There you go. And that is AMA. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on all we're discussing, including the tennis match postponed yesterday, the Phillies with the win last night. Good job, O. Lizardo. Trade deadline tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And Eagles, do you agree with John that this defense is going to be pretty good? I am certainly not ready to go there yet. I'm glad he said it. I'm hoping he's right. But, man, they did lose a lot. Let's go to Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. So, listen, the thing with the tennis real quick, it was hot. And I do work outside, but I feel like with all this trash that y'all was talking about being these great athletes, y'all should have played. Like, worried about people that going to be sitting out there watching it. Like, that was kind of.
So I will say, Derek,
there
is word going around town that our ability to provide critical analysis of athletes has been stripped from us. Because we did not step up as athletes in play. Like the idea of criticizing someone for not running hard to first or not making that tackle, that me and Jack have lost our right to have opinions. Now, I do not share this sentiment, but I know that word is matriculating through the Delaware Valley. It doesn't make us look good.
You remember when Jack ran that mile, it was a day just as hot as it was yesterday. He was out there running the mile. I ain't seen nobody coming out there telling him it was too hot.
Mm.
And he did a pretty good mile that day,
How
too.
How about that? That is interesting.
I don't know.
That is so interesting.
I think the spectators thing took it to another level, though. I think the Eagles changing practice also.
Man, come on, man.
That's so weak.
I'm telling you this, Derek.
You know what happened when our show was over?
What?
We all walked out of the RV and stood there for 2 hours and watched the Philadelphia
Eagles.
What a
great point, John.
And no one passed
out. What a great point, John.
That is a great point.
Yeah, it really is. Hard to argue with that one right there.
How many 87-year-olds did you say?
I don't know. How many 87-year-olds are coming out to watch this tennis match?
I think the nursing home was coming out.
A misuse of whatever of power. It shouldn't have been canceled in my mind.
Look, Derek, it wasn't my call. All jokes aside, it was. I really wanted to play. I really did.
Y'all had a call in it though. You and Jack both had some say, and you're gonna put it on Rod and say,
that.
"Oh, he said this." He
all
said
right,
that.
Here's what I'm
he
gonna
gave
say,
both
Derek.
Y'all the choice.
Here's what
y'all
I'm.
Said, no,
here's
let's
what
postpone it.
Derek. Here's what I'm gonna divulge to you. Infer what you want with this. I can tell you that I told our big boss, David Yagaroff, in a text message, if I were you, I would cancel it.
Now,
Joe the camera.
Well, I'm just, but.
And you got Rhea taking the blame here, meanwhile.
Because he's got a legal responsibility to make sure people don't, like, you know, die on his watch.
Trust me when I tell you, there's a lot of shame right here.
All right, let's move on from that.
Yes, sir.
So I actually agree with you when it comes, and I hate to, but I feel like we do have a little bit of Super Bowl-itis with the defense, only because we lost a lot, right?
Yeah.
We lost a lot. And if you go sit back and watch some games, like, I don't think it was Vic Fangio's actual schemes that was causing our defense to look like they did. They caused a lot of turnovers, like
punching
the ball out and
stuff like that. You know what causes our defense,
like
Derek? It is so simple. What causes our defense to look the way it does? It's Jalen Carter up front taking two or three every single play, and it's Cooper DeJean being able to play linebacker, cornerback, safety, blitz, drop, zone, man. His diverse skill set, Cooper DeJean, his ability to not be taken off the field, coupled with Jalen Carter up front always taking two defenders, that didn't go anywhere. That is what makes our defense great.
So you forget the game against Carolina. Well, what's his name? Adam Thielen, whatever. He made Cooper DeJean look just
But Derek, in a whole season, you're going to get
got experience.
You're going to get got at times. I mean, Cooper DeJean was great.
I'm just saying,
last year.
Our defense was good last year, but we lost a lot of people.
I agree.
And a lot of teams did move the ball on us, and we just got timely turnovers. So for us to just think that Vic Fangio is just going to, can just plug and play all
I'm
these
telling
guys.
You can be excited about the way this defense looks early in camp. They showed the offense up.
All right, Derek, I need an answer from you. Scene with a non-athlete.
One guy I can think of was when Burt Reynolds, he was the coach in longest yard, and then they had him as a lead.
He was a professional athlete. Paul Cruz was an NFL player prior, so.
But in the movie, is it a scene with a non-athlete?
Burt Reynolds. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, not really. Like, kind of.
Why not?
You've never seen Longest Yard? So
I actually have not.
He's a former NFL quarterback who goes to jail and then plays on the prison team.
Not a right
answer.
Never
seen it?
Original with Burt Reynolds is great. Wow. You should watch it. It's a really best football scenes maybe in any movie ever. Like, the football looks real.
Up ahead, the Heat discussed, but not one, but two, Eagles champions yesterday. They may have been thinking of me and Jack when they made their comments. What was John Fangio and Hurts both weighed in on the Heat. We'll get to that. Look, you're calls on all these topics. Phil's win last night. Lizardo pitched really well. Salisbury on what the Phillies players want. And Vic Fangio, some unbelievable comments on Adoree Jackson. That and more. Phone calls and all of it on 94 WIP.
Ready for your dream Las Vegas vacation? Enter BetMGM's your legendary Vegas getaway for the chance to win a customizable Las Vegas experience. It's easy to enter. Just sign up for a BetMGM account and download the app or log in. Then place your bets on your favorite sports to earn up to 25 entries. You can win a trip to Vegas that includes an MGM Grand Stay, travel accommodations, resort credit, and your choice of an exclusive sports, entertainment, or club experience. Score the Las Vegas trip of your dreams by entering BetMGM's Your Legendary Vegas Getaway, and you could be on your way to your perfect Vegas vacation. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly.
Schwarber blasts it. High and deep right field. Forget about it. Whoa, that one's gone. Way up onto the light landing in right field is Kyle Schwarber with an absolute bomb to right field. It's his 37th of the season, and it's 4-0 Phillies.
Well, great job by Schwarber last night. And great job by him this year. You know, last night was the first night it really struck me. He's got a shot to pass Ryan Howard's 58 homers.
Yep, he could.
He's got a shot. MVP.
Well, John Heyman said yesterday that he has entered the chat and is in the odds, like, you know, the betting odds, he's third or fourth.
Okay, no, that's pretty good. I mean, you know, he's never going to be a
betting average is low.
Yeah, that hurts him.
That hurts him a lot. It's high for Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
And he can, if he goes on a heater, if he goes on a tear, oh my gosh. If sustain.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Ryan Howard did not have 37 at this time in 2006.
He had 35.
Yeah.
Holy cow. It
could happen. You know, Ryan Howard also hit the final one of that year on September 22nd. He, like, hit a wall in the last week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he had, like, 14. I looked it up last night because I was curious. He had like 14 in August, so he had a really big August.
Gotcha.
So if Schwarber keeps it up.
Gotcha. Matter of fact, this is ironic.
Really cool.
So I have the book. Schwarger's, I have my book in front
Schwarger's
of me.
Going.
Yeah, I got my book in front of me because I was going to give it to the kid that's going to come in here and lose and beat the hammer. No, what's it called? What's it called,
hammer.
James?
Beat the hammer.
What is
Are
it
you
called?
Smarter than a 12th grader?
So I actually have the Ryan Howard year here.
You're ready to go.
I'll tell you exactly what it was because I got it by month. Ryan Howard that year by month. Let me see here. I can't find it. I'll figure it out. Oh, here we go. April, he hit 5 homers. May, he hit 13. June, 9. He hit 27 halfway through. July, he hit 9. August, you're right, Devin, he hit 14. And then however many were left in September. His final one on September 22nd. Yeah, that didn't go as well as I expected. I thought I had the September number in there. I didn't. Anyway, he ended with 58. Look, he's got a shot. Schwarber's got a shot. Now, he could use some help. That's obvious. And Jim Salisbury, by the way, Shil Kapadi will join us in about 5 minutes on the Eagles. Salisbury, when he was with us yesterday, made a point that I think it's one of those things we kind of know would be true, but hearing it from Jim, to me, gives it extra weight because he wouldn't say this if players hadn't said it to him. So this isn't speculation. This is reporting. Salisbury, with the trade deadline coming up, now in, you know, a little over 36 hours, Salisbury said this yesterday.
Yeah, I do think the time is now, and I think they know that, and I think they're willing to part with
Hold on one second, James, playing the wrong one there. My fault. Let's go back to something Salisbury said about the players.
The players that I talked to, they want to see a move made. They'd like to see a bat come in. They'd like to see a big arm come in. They are watching this thing really closely, and there'll be some very disappointed veterans if there's not significant improvement made.
You know what I mean, John? Like, we get it. If he didn't say it, we would know it. But the fact that he said it means they're saying it to him. That's significant. That they're saying it to him.
And remember, this feels like a clubhouse that's everything is sort of implied this year. It all has been mum. For the most part, you know, it's head down. We know what we got to do. Blinders on. They're even talking about.
Let me give you a story. I've told this story on the air before, but it's worth sharing. It's always worth sharing when the Phillies have a contending team around a trade deadline. Because before I was in this industry, I was just a punk kid drinking in New York one night, and the 0-1 Phillies were in contention, and they had just beaten the Mets. In a game in which Scott Rolen made a great diving play, and the Phillies beat the Mets, I believe, to tie first place with the Braves near the trade deadline. And that night, after the game, I wound up in a bar, and it just so happened that like 30 minutes later, the Phillies players wound up in a bar. And one of the Phillies made two trades that night. This is when, if you might remember, they brought in the relievers from the Mets. That might even have been the next day, but they brought Turk Wendell and I want to say Dennis Cook for the second time.
Who wore shark around their neck?
They brought in, that was Turk Wendell, yeah. And they brought in Felipe Crespo, I think that was the player. And one of the Phillies players who I started talking to, and I'm not going to say the player because he didn't know, you know, 25 years later I'd be a talk show host, but one of the players, prominent player. The trade came up on SportsCenter. Like, we're hanging out. It's like 11:30.
No way.
We're just drinking together, hanging out.
That's crazy.
It was cool. It was fun.
Sitting in a sports bar with Phillies players.
Yes.
SportsCenter's on.
Yes.
Trade.
Yes.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes.
You're all sitting there talking about
prominent.
It. I've had this happen to me one time.
Okay, right.
And unfortunately, it was when Terrell was doing sit-ups.
Oh, well, sure.
In the parking lot.
Totally.
In his driveway.
Totally.
But this is crazy.
Yeah, so prominent player sees it, looks at me, and says, Felipe Crespo, he just stinks. So, like, the players, and that was a team that had a shot that year against the Braves. So,
not
the,
great.
You know, the point
they
is,
were
like,
dreadful. They were dreadful pickups, weren't they?
They were horrendous.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, of course these guys want additions that can help
and
them.
And they know.
Of
and
course they do.
What will help.
Of course
well,
they do.
Especially this is basically the same group the last few years. This is the same group that at this time has seen Dave add edges on the edges, on the margins.
Big time. Yeah.
So like this group is probably really clamoring for a real guy to come in.
By the ad.
Yeah, especially if it's their last shot.
But the ads, plural. Yeah.
Which, whether it is or isn't, those guys in the clubhouse know that it could be.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to Sheil Kapadi about the Eagles coming up in a couple minutes. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's everyone doing?
Super, Ed.
I'd be lying to you if I wasn't relieved that tennis was canceled yesterday. I was really concerned about you guys, so... hopefully you find a day that's better. That's just how I felt about it. Some people feel differently. So
some people do.
So you're soft. We got it. That's cool.
By the way, Ed,
I
called me soft on Twitter because I put up there that I thought it was the right decision, and he put up the Kobe thing when Kobe years ago called someone, I forget who it was. It might have been Dwight Howard, called him soft. And Ike being a mean girl. That's all right.
Yeah, well, he's a protective father, you know, and he needs to look out for
unless
his son,
he's the
Jack,
mommy. So. One of them's mommy, one of them's daddy. We don't know who's mommy and who's daddy to Jack. We just know Boban's parents are heavily involved in this process.
They're kind of helicopter parents.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Jack also sent a communication to the decision maker that he advised for, you know,
Who was on the text, John, I know exactly what Jack said.
Oh, really?
But it would not be proper for me to divulge that information.
Oh, come on.
How did you find this out?
Who was on the text? Like, who can I text to get
it
this?
I'll tell you the four people on the text. It was Jack Fritz, Joe DeCamera, market manager David Yagaroff, and program director Rod Lakin.
Oh, so no one's going to tell me.
Need to know basis.
Look, Ed, I thought it was the right decision to cancel, but I did feel bad. I felt bad. I mean, people were coming out there. And ideally, it should have been postponed on Monday.
It's interesting how it seems like you and Jack are the only two people at the station who think it was the right decision outside of the bus. It's like every other host on the air is like, that decision.
I'm very much okay with it.
Okay with it?
Well, that's just because you didn't want to stand out there, right?
Well, I've been at training camp, and it is horrible outside. Like, we would all be... I was supposed to sideline report with Buzz on that thing, and I do feel bad for Dan Wilson because he came out and he was all ready to go.
It was one set.
We'd be dripping with sweat. We'd be passing out. Everyone would be dehydrated.
But just
like,
been out
I
there
understand.
For 2 hours.
This is purely selfish of you, is what you're saying. It's just you didn't want to stand outside.
It's okay to say yes, Devin.
What if other people don't pass out? Seltzer, what if like four spectators pass out?
No, exactly.
When does that happen?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I
mean,
when
does that happen? People stand at practice all
practice
the time. People go outside
out.
And sit at a restaurant on these days. Like, what are you talking about?
Those people are dumb.
But people do it. Like, people go out and walk to places, and you have to walk to work. My wife walked my daughter in yesterday. Like, what are we talking about?
All right, Ed, what do you got on the birds, my man? I got Richie here telling me the defense is going to be good.
Yeah, I'm really not concerned about the defense. I'm really kind of curious to see, you know, of all the starters that we won't see in the preseason, we had better see Kelee Ringo and Adoree Jackson draft for every preseason game.
Yeah.
I mean, because other than, you know, hearing what Fangio had to say about Adoree Jackson and, you know, who's getting the first team reps and whatnot, that's all the information I have. You know, it's why Elliott's stats are so important.
I'm telling you. Ed, it's Adoree. They're evenly rotating to favoring Adoree Jackson in terms of reps. That's just the feel that I get. I don't have the official numbers. Adoree Jackson, his experience is such a big deal.
Yeah, but what Fangio said yesterday is also a big deal. We're going to get to that in a moment.
It is a big deal. The fact that he said, when asked about Kelee Ringo, oh, he's fine. That's
But what he said about Adoree Jackson did not bode well for Adoree Jackson.
I think it did. Okay, I think he thinks he's got much bigger upside.
Okay.
It just has not been channeled yet, and he's trying to
trying to do that. Ed, give me a scene with non-athletes playing sports.
How about the guys in old school doing gymnastics near the end of the movie?
Oh, great answer. Will Ferrell doing the floor routine?
You got
phenomenal.
It. Good answer.
The rhythmic gymnastics.
All right, let's talk some birds with Sheil Kapadia. He does phenomenal work at The Ringer. He's out there at Eagles training camp quite a bit, including the last 2 days, so he can report on that. And big picture with the Eagles as they get close to the start of the season. Shiel with us right now. Good morning, Shiel.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I mean,
awesome.
You know, better than I would be if I had been out there for an hour in the heat yesterday. Was it the right or wrong decision for the station? And it was the station. It was management. It was not me. Right or wrong decision to postpone yesterday?
I'm fine with the decision. It's got to come earlier.
Yeah.
The indecision. You know, we got all the weather apps and forecasts. Come on now. You can't be waiting. There are people driving and flying in. But I heard the guy call. He's taking a train in yesterday. I mean, people are coming to see this. You got to make the call earlier.
Yeah, Ava drove back from the shore.
It's a fair criticism, Shiel. Yeah. I don't disagree with you. When was the when was the Eagles Vikings game that was postponed? When did they postpone it? Do you remember?
I actually don't. That might have been more last minute than this one.
It was.
I don't think it was 2 hours before.
No,
I think it was
more. It was way more because people didn't show up to the stadium on Monday.
Because I will tell you.
No, it went from a Sunday to a Tuesday, James. I think it was Sunday night football, I believe.
That was the snowstorm,
you think,
right?
It was a Monday?
I thought it was a Monday.
I thought it went from a Sunday to a Tuesday.
It might have. But either way, they talked about Monday, then Tuesday, maybe. I don't remember, to be honest.
We were getting our skis ready to try, you know, because we were downtown. We were just going to ski down Broad Street.
Shiel, what if Joe Webb shows up to our rescheduled, not that it has been scheduled. If Joe Webb, $1,000 to Joe Webb if he shows up to the tennis match next week. All right. Shiel, let's get serious here. John's telling me the Eagles' defense is going to be good. I don't know that he's right. I hope that he's right. He's even saying they might be great. What do your instincts tell you based on what you've seen and what you know?
Yeah, I've got them as a top five defense again this season. I know they lost guys. I think some of that we are overrating, and I think some of that we should have concerns about. You know, I think my biggest concern right now is the moving pieces in the secondary, and that's absolutely a valid concern, and we'll see how that plays out. But I just have so much trust in Vic Fangio that he's going to be able to find one of these guys that is a good fit and put them in position to succeed. And then you look across the board. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell looks incredible. Cooper DeJean looks great. The linebackers, for the first time, maybe in our lifetime, we can say they might have the best linebacking duo in the NFL. Now, we got to see with Jihad Campbell, but that type of ceiling is there with this linebacker duo. And then, of course, you know what you have with Jalen Carter. So I hear you if you tell me, hey, they lost a lot of snaps and it's not the same guys, and they might not be as good as they were last year. But as I'm assessing the rest of the NFL right now, I've got two, maybe three other defenses that I put in the same league as the Eagles. So I still think this is going to be a great defensive football
game. Well, I'm very glad to hear you say that because, you know, I really respect your opinion. I hope you are right as well. All right, let's get to what Fangio said about Adoree Jackson. I did not think this reflected well on Adoree Jackson yesterday, Shiel. I agree with John's contention that Fangio was challenging him, but man, this concerned me. Two different pieces of audio. Let's start first with this one, which I found to be the strangest, because in many ways it almost felt like Fangio was separating himself from Howie Roseman in the decision making, like almost maybe a little shot at Howie. I don't know. Make of it what you will. I thought this was strange. Here's what Fangio said about Adoree Jackson.
I didn't watch a whole lot of tape on him. Howie kind of wanted to sign him, and when Howie wants to sign somebody, it doesn't matter what I say. So we just took him in, and I didn't really watch a lot of his tape last year, but I've seen him play over the years. Saw him when he was coming out of college.
All right, Shiel, what'd you make of that one? I thought that was bizarre.
I thought it was hilarious that Vic Fangio's just going to go up there, you know, like your uncle who's maybe had a couple, you know, one too many glasses of wine at Thanksgiving and you're not sure what's going to come out of their mouth, and he'll tell you what he thinks. You know, I think Vic Fangio in the draft, I think he certainly has a big say in the players that they select. I don't think they're taking anybody who he doesn't like, but I was thinking back to last year around this time, and he's being asked about Bryce Huff at training camp, and he's saying, well, yeah, he's got to prove himself against the run, and it's not the exact same thing, but kind of similar.
Sure.
Saying,
yeah,
you know what,
exactly.
This is someone we brought in for competition, but, you know, I wasn't going into Howie's office for this guy and saying, hey, let's go sign him. He's going to be my starting corner. So I think he's still figuring out that position. I think he wants to see these guys get more reps. To me, the biggest question is if he sees Kelee Ringo and says, hey, this guy can be a really good player by October, November, then do I let him take his lumps early in the season? Because I do think that's a part of it with all of these young cornerbacks.
So one more on Adoree Jackson from Fangio, because he went out of his way to say something else. Let's play this one and then make of it what you will.
Why do you think that this is the place that he can maybe show? You mentioned what he could be. Is it the scheme?
Yeah, I don't know if I think it's the place. I think it's time for him to show that. You know, he, in Tennessee, when it came time to re-sign him, you know, after his contract was up, they didn't. The Giants, his contract was up, they didn't. You know, it's time to show who he is or who he isn't.
See, Shield, here's my contention. Make of it what you will of whether Fangio should or shouldn't say it, and I agree with John that he's challenging him. But what I take out of that as an Eagles fan is my team just went from Darius Slay to this guy? Oh, man, that, you know, come on now. What do you think?
The guy was supposed to be Kelee Ringo. Kelee Ringo, yeah, but, I believe, is letting it slip away, and Adoree Jackson is overtaking him right now.
But my point is it's a problem either way. That's my point. It's not Darius Slay. It's one of these two guys. Shield, yeah, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most likely scenario is you're going to have a downgrade at that cornerback position with the way Darius Slay played last year, and now whoever you're replacing him with this year. The question is, how much of a downgrade is it? You know, can you still get competent cornerback play from one of these two guys? I mean, you know, Adoree Jackson's been in the league, what, 8 years? He turns 30 in September. This typically is not the time where you see a cornerback all of a sudden. Now, it happens sometimes. James Bradbury came to the Eagles, and he was later in his career, and he had a terrific season in 2022, but it's typically not the time where a guy kind of takes off and has a career season. So I still think the best-case scenario for them is a guy like Ringo winning that job, who has some upside, who can grow into the role. But I think Fangio is telling you, like, neither of them are going to be handed the job. It's not, you know, we're 5 days into camp. It's not like he's seen either of them just kind of, you know, grab it and say, hey, this is my job. I'm playing great. So he needs to see more. We're not even in August yet. And so this is one we just kind of have to keep an eye on, revisit every week here until we get to week one.
I am really excited about the defense, as Joe mentioned, but how concerned should we be about the fact that three of our linebackers, but actually three starters, Nolan Smith, Zach Bond, Nakobe Dean, were not practicing yesterday in various, you know, degrees of injury? How concerned should we be about that, Shiel?
Yeah, I think the edge group, you know, I kind of split those into, you know, Nolan Smith is kind of part of that edge group with the outside linebackers. That is a concern. You know, Nolan Smith had the concussion, I think it was, earlier this week in practice, and they're not deep there. You know, Jalix Hunt, even if you're bullish about him, behind those two guys, you really just took some low-cost flyers on some veterans like Josh Uche in the offseason. So that is a bit of a concern. Off-ball linebacker, I actually feel great about. Now, I don't know the details of Zach Bond's injury, but as long as he's going to be available in the regular season, I mean, watching the potential with him and Jahad Campbell and their length to protect the middle of the field in coverage, I mean, that's where offenses are attacking, and these guys are two of the best. I don't want to get ahead of myself with Jahad Campbell, so I should say has the potential to be one of the better coverage linebackers in the NFL. And I'll tell you what, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., I thought had a couple, two good days of practice from what I saw. I mean, I thought
he knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly what I felt like. His head wasn't spinning. He was reading stuff. He was moving. And so
makes him look faster. He's playing faster because he knows exactly where to be and how to anticipate this year. And it's really reflected in the way he's playing. He's making a strong push right now. And man, they've got a lot of talent inside. They've got, I wonder, with Nolan Smith, okay, he's got that. Basically, Fangio told us it's Nolan and Jalix Hunt. Seal the deal with those guys. When you see these other pass rushers, Shiel, who's the best? Who should make the team out of Uche, Ojulari, the Ogbo guy, all these names? They all feel sort of like similarly even right now, coming off the edge.
I think that's right. I don't think, and none of them, to be honest, really popped for me. I think if I had to pick one, I would say Uche because he has played. He has had one big sack season, and he did yesterday with Nolan Smith out. He was the guy out there replacing him. So I kind of watch what the coaches tell me with how they're rotating guys in with the depth chart with the first team and the second team. But listen, it's an area where they've got, what did Howie say, 13 draft picks going into next season, where if there is a veteran edge rusher, and it might not be the most flashy guy, but a guy who can be, hey, your third edge rusher there, that they might look into that. I think if there's one area where you say, hey, Shield, they're going to make a trade between now and week one, I think that might be the most likely scenario, although you could also talk me into, you know, potentially them doing something at safety as well.
Shield Kapadia with us from the Ringer right now. All right, it's great talking, D. I love it. Let's talk some O, though, as well. Shield, the offense, Jalen and the offense, the last two practices that you saw, how did you think they looked?
Listen, I think the defense got the better of them the last 2 days, but I went into this camp thinking, I don't really care that much what I see out of Jalen Hurts. You know, the last time we watched Jalen Hurts, he was going up against the Hall of Fame defensive coordinator on the biggest stage against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and he lit him up. So, you know, I went into this camp saying, if Jalen Hurts has a couple days or the offense struggles a couple days, let's not panic about that. We just saw them do it in the playoffs. So I think they've got stuff to work on. There's no doubt about it. You know, my concern is how much change are we going to see from what we saw last year with the new offensive coordinator. And I don't know that it's going to be a lot. You know, I think we could be in for a little bit of what we had last year, where you had some good moments. You had some moments where we say, hey, this doesn't look right. And you hope you find it at the right moment in the playoffs on the biggest stage. So, yeah, you know, they've had some ups and downs. Devontae Smith didn't practice yesterday, so you're limited a little bit with your pass catchers. You're not, you know, running the football, tackling to the ground completely. So that's obviously what this offense is built on. So you're not going to see that. We're training camps more of a passing camp. So that's kind of where I stand after the last couple days with the offense.
Ashil, am I mistakenly thinking they're going to pass to the backs more? Because they are passing to the backs in camp this year more than I've seen in the regular season, you know, if you go percentage of plays or whatever. But it does feel like it, when I reflect back to all the previous camps, I do feel like they throw to the backs a lot in camp. And maybe that's just a product of checking it down because there's not really sacks happening, you know, with the way that they don't take the quarterback to the ground. I'm not sure. It does feel like with Kevin Petullo calling the shots, he's saying that Jalen is really hasn't missed a beat and it hasn't taken a step back, sort of that Jalen has advanced in his knowledge and understanding of the offense this year with Petullo calling the shots. Does this offense include more activity for the backs in the passing game?
Yeah, I'll kind of believe it when I see it. I'm with you. It feels like one of those things that you often see at the practices and then the game start. I mean, last year was weird, where week one, they design a beautiful play to Saquon Barkley for the touchdown against the Packers in Brazil. And then the rest of the season, you're saying, where is that? And so I think with the checkdowns, what we see across the NFL is that the quarterbacks who can scramble and make plays with their legs are less likely to check it down because they get to that checkdown and they say, yeah, I could throw it out to him in the flat, or I could just take off myself. And oftentimes it's a good decision to take off themselves. We saw that with Jalen Hurts at least a couple times every game in some high leverage spots, making plays as a scrambler. So we'll see. I think it would be a good thing. I think it's in the playbook. I think they have those designs in there. We saw it last year. They just didn't get to them as much as maybe we thought they were going to get.
All right, Shield, final thing here. Gut feeling. Is there going to be a starter for the Eagles week one that is not currently on this football team? Namely for a defensive spot, corner or safety, not currently on the team that starts week one?
I'm going to say no. I think it'll be the guys we see. I think it could be, a third edge rusher potentially. And I think you could see something at safety potentially. I'm not predicting that. I mean, one of the most interesting things right now, real quick, is Cooper DeJean's role. You know, it feels like they think he's the best safety and they think he's the best nickel. And the thing I'll leave you with is keep an eye on this fifth-round pick, Mack McWilliams, the corner they got from Central Florida. Hearing Vic Fangio talk about his instincts and his football savvy really caught my attention yesterday. Where is there a scenario where they say, hey, he's a really good nickel and we can play Cooper DeJean at safety even when we're in those sub-packages?
Wow.
I'm not telling you that's going to happen, but that's on my radar a little bit the next week or two, how they're using those guys. I do think there could be some shuffling with where these guys play.
Good deal.
That would mean that Mack McWilliams jumps Perry Nickerson from San Francisco.
Yeah, I think McWilliams has been in there in dime with the first team. And again, I think he's somebody who it seems like Fangio might have gotten in the scout's ear and in Howie's ear and said, hey, I like this guy. I can use this guy immediately like I used those defensive backs last year.
All right, Shield, great work as always. We look forward to talking to you a ton more once we get to this thing really cranking up with the start of the season. Shield, thanks so much, man.
All right, guys, take care. Talk
thanks,
to you soon.
Shield.
All right, Shield Kapadia.
Such a huge deal. Think about that. We've got a lot of flexibility with the way Cooper DeJean can do everything. We talked about
here's
it
what he's not going to be. He's not going to be the outside corner in base.
No.
He's either going to be the safety or he's going to be the safety.
It depends who else we bring in. In all likelihood, I think it depends who we're able to find. And it might not be right at the beginning of the year. I think this could be an adjustment on the fly during the season as well. Cooper DeJean, when guys go down with injury, they're going to continue to try to find the best five or six DBs if we're going dime.
Look, the good news is
put on the field.
Other team only goes base offense maybe 10% of the time. So, I mean, Vic Fangio even said this week Eagles aren't working on it themselves defensively much because the Eagles offense doesn't do it much. So but teams could try to attack it. I mean, they could try to get Cooper DeJean off the field, but I think the Eagles will just put him in safety is what I think will happen. You know, in those situations.
We don't take him off the field. That's the whole
point.
Well,
hold on. Last year they did.
No, we didn't have to.
Last year they did.
When?
When the other team would have two wide receivers in the game, Cooper DeJean
came off.
When
they were in base, he wasn't on the field last year.
Came off the field.
But very rarely.
Right, Joe was saying teams could choose to do that more because of Cooper DeJean if they're going to take him off the field in those situations.
Which is why they'll probably put him at safety.
Agree.
But I'm saying last year he was off the field in those scenarios.
I don't agree with that.
No, it's a fact. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was the safety. There was no need for a slot, and Cooper DeJean stood on the sideline. That's a fact.
By the end of the season, we stayed in nickel. By the end of the season, we did not match what the offense was doing.
So you're saying at a certain point, Fangio said
Cooper DeJean is so unique, we don't have to match. Cooper DeJean is like a linebacker.
So you're
That's
saying
my whole point.
So playing him at linebacker in those places, essentially, is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Twitter poll question of the day. We got two of them, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Track in stock now, starting at $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, do you think the Phils will make a meaningful trade today? Trade deadline is 6 o'clock tomorrow, so we are under 36 hours to the trade deadline. Listen, July 29th used to be Ruben's big day. That's when he got Hunter Pence, Roy Oswalt, and I believe Cliff Lee all on the same day 3 straight years. They didn't do it yesterday. Now, look, they got a great start from Lizardo. Great start. Important start from Lizardo. That was really good to see. Brandon Marsh, the other main star of the game. Schwarber had a big role as well. Do you think the Phils make a meaningful trade today, yes or no? Second poll question, was it the right decision to postpone me versus Fritz, the tennis match yesterday due to extreme heat? Let's go to the phones. Yes or no on that one. Juice in South Philly. Juice, good morning.
Good morning.
What's happening, bud?
What's up, Juice? How do you get a name like Juice?
It comes from softball.
Oh, nice.
I get it. Steroids. I got you.
Yeah. So you hit dongs in softball?
Ate it or unate it?
Danielle's hitting dongs every day when we're out in the yard.
It's the reverse of that. I was saying I don't do juice.
There you go.
Honorable.
So
man.
All the other softball players were doing juice. I got it.
It's an epidemic.
That's funny.
They're all meatheads, man.
Yeah.
So I have a couple points I want to make.
Sure.
First point, the Phils, in my opinion, are not going to do anything not like we want them to do as far as trade deadline goes. I feel like with all the names and all the rumors going around, something would have been done by now if they were planning on getting rid of those of their prospects. Kind of like, jump on it early, because the longer that they wait, the more the price goes up.
Well, the price is very high. The price is really high. I don't know if you heard Ruben with us yesterday, but he was very clear that it's not going to be easy at all
for the Phillies to acquire the type of players that fans are clamoring for.
It's like priciest of all time.
So here's my question, Joe, right?
Sure.
So Kyle Drake back, Kisto Sanchez.
Yep.
The list goes on.
Yeah, it's
they
a long
were
list.
They're all top front of the pitchers, right?
Yep.
And what happened to them?
Yeah, well, they all stunk. Yeah.
We're holding on to Painter, who what's his ERA above
they said
four
he's
AAA?
The best prospect in the history of the organization.
Yeah, so Juice, you're bringing up good points, but I could bring up this point. The Phillies have had, and this is the third time in their history they've had sustained success. Now, it's not as good as the 70s and the 80s or the group 15 years ago, but the reality is those two groups were both built primarily through the farm system. And so while you are 1,000% correct that there's a million good prospects that amounted to nothing, there's also Schmitty, there's Luzinski, there's Boa, there's Boone, there's Cole, there's Jimmy, there's Ryan, there's Chase. I mean, these are guys that had a monumental impact on the Phillies and our lives as Phillies fans, and they all came from the system. So you got to be careful. That's all I'm saying, man. Like, I want them to do something, but let's not act like all the high-level prospects become bums, because some of them become cornerstones of Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, but you just gave me, what, 10 out of thousands that we drafted since the 80s?
Well, yes,
most minor leaguers don't make the majors.
Yeah,
but
we're talking...
That's, you know...
But yeah, if we're talking about the top, you know, 40 prospects they've had in the last 40 years, yeah, you'd also put Gavin Floyd in there who didn't work out, Don Brown didn't, I was going to say Meldrick Taylor. What was that guy's name? What was the Taylor guy's name? Something Taylor. That guy stunk.
Michael
Taylor stunk. The kid from the College World Series in 95. The guy with the knuckle curve. He didn't work. He made the one All Star game and then he fell apart. All Star game 95. Tyler Green.
Oh yeah, Tyler Green.
He didn't work out. Bobby Estalea didn't work out. I mean, it's a long.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, back in the day, at least. If those, I mean, we talked. You know, the trades, the guys they traded didn't work.
Yeah,
Filippo Montz and Juice Trayback.
Juice, you're convincing me. All right, Juice, the right or wrong decision to postpone tennis yesterday?
I agree with you, Joe. If I had a chance to do it, I would do it too. There's no reason for you to have a heat stroke. Just
you,
to prove a point that you're better than somebody at a sport.
I appreciate that. That's coming
from me, who I play out in that 105 degree heat when I'm on a softball field. Sometimes we play on turf; it's hotter than that.
There you go, Juice. Give me a great answer. A scene with non-athletes playing sports.
I want to make one more point, real quick. So I listen to you guys all day while I'm working.
Yes, sir.
Right. And make it into the afternoon show. And I got to be honest with you, Spike annoys the crap out of me. Okay? Mommy and Daddy, all they do is sit there and tell you how this competition should be. I feel like Spike should be in the competition with you. The problem is he has not an athletic bone in his
body. Well, he'd have no shot, obviously.
When we play softball, one of the worst things that we hate, is when the person standing there holding the book running their mouth because they have no athleticism whatsoever, so they're the hype man. All they do is, my guy's better than you, and in reality, it's because he can't do it. So if you can't do it, shut up.
Yeah, Juice, in wrestling terms, he reminds me a lot of Jimmy Hart. You know?
Yeah. The mouth of the South.
Yeah, mouth of the South. He's just doing a lot of squawking, but there's no real talent there. All right,
yes,
Juice, you said it. You said it.
Dead.
Give me an answer here. A scene with a non-athlete.
Kind of.
Ferris Bueller.
And which scene is that? Where there's got to be a scene with playing some sports.
So playing, or well, he's
playing.
Actually,
he's watching.
Yeah,
sports.
He was thinking watching.
Yeah, he's watching sports. Now you got to be playing sports. All right, Juice. Appreciate the call. Let's listen to more of what was said in the afternoon show yesterday, because one of the things going on was Spike was at a certain point trying to conduct a live on-air investigation. Let's listen to something he said.
How were you and Joe informed that this was going to happen? Not going to happen.
Well, it was in a private text message.
Okay.
Saying, you know,
What do you think?
Oh!
What do you think?
It was what do you think?
And it was a station decision.
No, I was, what did you say that you thought? And what did Joe say that he thought?
Who knows what we said. But what I, how I feel.
You know, you were on a text chain.
Here's how I feel.
Yeah.
Station decision.
Yeah.
Management decision. I didn't push back. I think it was a correct decision. It was hot out.
You don't think you could have played 30 minutes of tennis today?
Prepared to play. Willing to play. That was what was said in the text message. Whatever you guys want to do, don't think it was the best decision to play today.
You know, it's funny. Me and Jack had a very similar approach.
I can tell. I think you both were like, we're good. Yeah, we don't have to do this. It's fine. Whatever you guys want to do, but I don't want to necessarily. Yeah.
I really was fully prepared to play, but I did think it was the right decision to cancel it just because, you know, it's not just us. It's the spectators.
I mean, still think it's the right decision now?
Yeah, no one died.
Should have been earlier. That's
no
all.
One died. No one was going to die.
Yeah. I don't know about
this is so silly. We're talking about standing outside in the heat.
It's hot.
There are only two people doing athletic stuff, you and Jack. Everyone else is standing there.
Yeah, so are you taking action now to make sure there's like EMT access to this facility that you're
It's going
to
be hot when you guys do it. Like it's maybe it's a few degrees cooler. Like what is this?
But on that, why don't we just do this at night or indoors? Like why are we doing it at noon during the hottest time of the year outside? I feel like there are other alternatives to make this.
Well, there are. We do want to have it where people can watch.
People to see, and it's hard to get people inside somewhere, parking, all these type of things.
There's not much parking at FDR Park.
Look, there's days next week where there's 80-degree days.
Yeah, it's going to be like 84.
Midweek, we should be completely fine. Like, I would play today, but no one's prepared for that. We haven't put word out.
Would play today. It's the same
98.
Today
as
it was yesterday. I'm just saying, I would have played any day. John, I'm going to win tennis. Like, I don't know what was...
Didn't you just say you texted to say that you were okay not playing yesterday?
Yes.
So how would you play any day?
I was also okay playing. I just said...
What was the wording? It was...
Okay. Hold on. You want me to pull out the freaking text?
Yeah, obviously. We've been waiting for that for an hour now.
I will not divulge other people's text messages.
The wording.
Okay? Is that fair?
Can I do this, Spike?
Critical.
You can do anything you want.
Your text to David.
All right, hold on. No, real quick. While I find this, I want to play one more thing from Spike yesterday, because I need a moment here to find this text. Listen to something else, Spike.
I want to see the text. Put the text online.
Not putting the text
online.
Put the text online. 215-592-9494.
Do you think
that's no?
I'm going to get Jack's cell phone number.
HIPAA laws.
That's not a HIPAA law. That's not what HIPAA is.
Funny that while you were looking for the text, that was the audio we were playing. That's ironic.
All right.
That's also really funny.
I will read you only my text messages.
Okay.
I sent two text messages in this process. Here we go. And this all happened very late in our show. It was in the finals. I think it was like during Time's Yours. The first text message I sent was in response to David Yagaroff's text message. I wrote the following. I totally get your concern, David, and appreciate the note. I am fully prepared to play, but I do think not playing should be strongly considered, both for our sake and for all the spectators. Then I relayed something that I'm now going to divert from the text for a moment to say that I had heard, Rhea, what you had referenced earlier. I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but I'll say you referenced earlier what you had heard about training camp 2 days ago, that people were struggling.
Yeah, and I mentioned it to the boss.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think when I did that, I set alarm bells off.
Yeah, it did.
I was just chatting.
You said that to them. Yeah, I'm not going to read the total specifics here.
Just chatting.
But I relayed, Rhea, what you had told. I didn't know you had also told them that.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed in all of you guys.
James, I will just tell you the reason I was doing it, I was making fun of Rod for wearing jeans. So that was the context.
Without your commentary, it probably would have been played.
I know. I apologize to everyone.
I wrote, Rhea told us blank number of people passed out yesterday. And of course,
you didn't have to do that either, though.
That's what I was told.
You didn't have to do that. Relay that. You could have, really wanted to play yesterday, you would have been like, I'm good.
Absolutely.
Like the response to the text should have been, hey, David, thanks for asking. I'm good.
Well,
boom.
Now I'm going to continue.
Done.
That's what we call period.
Oh,
should we play? Rhea said people were
passing
out.
Rhea said people were passing out, but I'm ready. I'm ready. But
wait,
seriously,
a second.
Don't forget.
Fun of our boss.
People were passing out. Okay, yeah. But I'll
Rhea,
play.
I took your words literally. So, I mean, I was told that.
No, okay. I'm not lying. No, I didn't make it up. But
Rhea,
I was,
this is not your fault at all.
No, what
this
I'm saying is,
this is Joe had the chance to say I'm good. Jack had the chance to say I'm good. Let's play.
Here are my
and they both were selfish and didn't care about all the people coming. We're like, eh, yeah.
Here are my
maybe
last
you should
two,
worry about the heat a little bit.
My last two sentences.
It's going to be hard.
You guys aren't going to like my last two sentences.
Oh, no.
I haven't liked any of them yet, so.
If I were you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I would postpone it.
Oh, no.
But I am happy to do whatever is decided upon.
This one's for you. This one's for you.
Listen, the market manager has a legal response. I still need a lawyer to call in. I asked an hour ago for a lawyer. We haven't had a lawyer call. Can I please get a call from a lawyer?
That's a Weasley
if
sentence.
If people passed out at our event, God forbid heat stroke and it really got serious, would the station be liable at a WIP event, not just us, but if a spectator had shown up and passed out, is the station liable? I don't know the answer to that. That's why I'm asking, can a lawyer please call us 215-592-9494. The final text message I'll just tell you that I sent, because I only sent two, after I was told it was postponed, I wrote, good call. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Rod, I should announce the postponement right now, right? And then I got the response and I announced the postponement.
I'm incredibly disappointed.
Listen, I was ready to go.
Joe.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Stop. You're not allowed to say it.
I was 1,000% ready to go.
No. If you're ready to go, you
heard me.
If you say you're ready to go, they asked you, do you want to play? You could have just said, yes, I want to play. You didn't have to do all this stuff about people passing out. You didn't have to do all this stuff about, well, maybe for liability, you should really be worried. They asked you what you wanted to do. You could have said, I'll play. It's not on you.
No,
it's on your decision for liability. They did, and you didn't say, I want to play. You didn't say that.
I would post.
Exactly.
Because he's got a responsibility.
Hey, by the way, Rhea said people are passing out, but you make the call. Are you kidding? That's so weak. We know exactly.
I need support. The hammer's drowning. If I were you, I would postpone it.
And oh, by the way, Rhea mentioned people were falling out yesterday trying to watch practice.
Just so you know, could possibly happen today?
Whatever you want to do, I'll support it.
I don't even know what the side is that you want my help on. Like, is it that you
just
didn't call
me.
It? That you? Because I do support the decision to postpone it.
Thank you.
Standing outside at training camp was not
Here's
fun
the point,
yesterday.
Devin. Yes, that's fine.
Devin, that was for
Devin,
2 hours.
The point is, can Joe say he was ready to play after those text messages?
I mean, no.
Exactly.
I was ready to play.
No, you weren't. Stop.
James,
the only way I was going to lose
is if I freaking
You weren't ready to play. I thought you were. I was telling people, I was like, Joe definitely wanted to play. This isn't on him. Now, I totally disagree.
Wow.
This is your fault. Wow. I don't know what Jack said. Jack might have said the same thing. Probably did. I think it's probably both of you.
Can I ask you
a question?
But
I'm actually with Mommy and Daddy right now. I think Spike and Ike have it right.
I fully support Mommy and Daddy.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's really good, but it's freaking me out.
No, the Mommy and Daddy thing is brilliant. It's the funny.
It's my favorite thing of the whole
of this whole tournament.
Can I just ask a question? How is a best of five had so many controversies? I mean,
because you're you. That's how. Exactly. You and Jack.
Really you
that's
and Spike.
Why. Yeah, you because Spike and Jack too. I mean, Jack did the in-out
before,
thing and all that.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. By the way, it's 94 WIP. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today. From the Tasty Cake studio. Now, a couple things. And then I actually want to play some audio related. Sort of to the heat thing yesterday with us in tennis. Three announcements. Number one, are you smarter than a 12th grader is coming up at 8:30 today? That's me versus a 12th grader in a general trivia contest, no sports involved. Questions that James has come up with that 12th graders are supposed to learn. So whatever a 12th grader learns, and John, this is probably going to go way above my head because if we're in like chemistry territory and stuff, I'm dead meat. But I've never lost this through the various grades, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. I'm 7-0. We're up to 12th grader. We'll find out in about 20 minutes what happens. Announcement number two. You can call Time's Yours and let us know what you think of tennis having been postponed yesterday. Time's Yours, 215-238-4500. Call Time's Yours. Weigh in. Announcement number three. We will be at McGurk's tomorrow. That's the McGurk's in Horsham. We love McGurk's. We love doing shows there. They're always special shows. Tomorrow's show revolves around the trade deadline. And James, I believe the station is broadcasting 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.?
That's correct. Yep. Every show will be down there.
12 hours of content leading you into the 6 p.m. trade deadline. Please get there tomorrow if you can. Any portion, McGurk's and Horsham, breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever it might be. Hang out with us. We're going to be there. It's going to be fun. Hopefully the Phillies do something. We'll be all over it. Get out to McGurk's if you can. If you can, obviously listen, because we should have some good, you know, content for you on a trade deadline day. All right, two more things quickly before we go back to the phone. It was incredibly ironic that Vic Fangio and Jalen Hurts both had John Wayne comments yesterday about the Heat on a day where me and Fritz did not play our tennis match because of the Heat.
Jalen is tougher than you, in case you were wondering.
He is tough. Yes, he is tough, and Vic Fangio is grizzled. Let's listen first to Fangio, because he weighed in on the Heat.
It's not hot today. That's a mindset, you know. We're going to play some hot games in September, and if you cave to a hot day in training camp, we're in trouble.
All right.
Damn straight, Vic.
That's Vic. Now, did
he also said that we wearing sweatpants and a hoodie. Like, they, yeah. He really is not
lying. Said it's a
about.
Mindset.
We're playing Tampa in September. These guys better get in great
All
shape.
Right. Did Jalen Hurts know at the moment he commented that our tennis match had been postponed? Maybe not. Let's listen to what John Wayne Jalen Hurts said yesterday about the Heat.
Fatigue makes cowards of us all, and you know these last 2 days have been very challenging from a Heat standpoint. And so everybody collectively as a group just continue to push through those things.
I co-sign that.
Called you a coward.
I co-sign. You push through.
Jalen Hurts just called you a coward.
You push through
that
is what you do.
Is what happened. You were made a coward.
Coward.
You and Jack both.
By the way, he stole that line from everyone's giving him credit. That was Jimmy Johnson's line, by the way, like 10 years ago when he addressed the Miami football team.
Coward.
But anyway.
I've heard that every year. It's a good line. Yeah, playing career too.
All right. Your reaction to the tennis postponement, which we hope will be rescheduled for next week. We expect that. Something Salisbury said yesterday to us about the Phillies and if they're going to make a trade. We'll get to that. More of the audio from the afternoon show. Heavy on the phone lines coming up. Plus, are you smarter than a 12th grader? We'll have some fun with that at 8:30 today. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's a big day. It's the day before the trade deadline on 94 WIP.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation. We've done our show from their headquarters, and we've seen the people, the technology. It's all so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leaders for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything. Mobile POS, self-serves kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.